Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Self-denial appeal each year because it's an opportunity that we don't just get to partner with God on a physical, material level. We get to partner in making spiritual differences in the world. And seeing that story, it was so moving to see a young man's life changed. You know, he had escape for sport and through alcohol, but through finding Jesus, he's now found. He's found a place to belong, and he's found a family. The Salvation Army, and with being a child of God. So, and that is my prayer, that as you give, that you would keep that in your foremind of that's what you're sowing into. We're not just sowing into, you know, a program or a service. We're sowing into people's lives and people's futures. So I pray that God would lead you to what you will give in 2 weeks' time. We're going to open the scriptures in a moment, but I want to read from the Message version. So your version that you might have in your Bibles might be slightly different. But I want you to listen to the scripture that I've got today in the Message version. The Message version, I find, packs a bit of a punch. It speaks how it is. It doesn't mince its words. And so I want to speak this scripture today from James in chapter 2, verses 14 to 20. You might want to watch along on the screen. You might like to close your eyes and just listen to the words of what this writer James is speaking to the people at that time. But what is it speaking to you? James chapter 2, verses 14 to 20 says, "Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half-starved and say, 'Good morning, friend, be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit,' and walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, 'Sounds good. You take care of the faith department, I'll handle the works department.' Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith, fit together hand in glove. Do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe you complacently sitting back as if you had done something wonderful? That's just great. Demons do that. But what good does it do to them? Use your heads. Do you suppose for a minute that you can cut faith and works in two and not end up with a corpse on your hands?" And I pray that God would give us understanding of this scripture today. Who here remembers the Peanuts cartoons with Charlie Brown and Snoopy, Lucy, Linus, I think is one of the other characters, Linus? Anyone remember? A few nods? All right, we might put one up in a moment. So this week I was doing some research, particularly around this scripture, and I came across these cartoons again. I haven't seen Peanuts cartoons for quite some time. And then I realised that the creator or the cartoonist was Charles Schulz, kind of like my last name. It's a bit cool. He actually died in the year 2000, so that's probably why we haven't seen any cartoons for a little while. But there are cartoons obviously still around from his, and he wrote Peanuts for about 50 years, so a really long time. And I actually realised this week that he's actually a Christian. I didn't know that Charles Schulz was a Christian. And he actually used to sneak things into his cartoons about God, about prayer. He would often, in Christmas editions. He would even talk about the real Christmas story. And he'd even quote scripture, probably unknowingly to a lot of people that weren't familiar with Christian ways. So when I came across this particular cartoon that relates to the passage that we've just read, and I think we've got the picture up on the screen. Oh, apart from the little turny bit of the salvo shield. Oh, hey, good job. Okay, it's two of the characters, and I'm pretty sure it's Charlie Brown and Linus probably are the two up there. So they're saying, Snoopy looks kind of cold, doesn't he? And in the next slide it says, I'll say he does. Maybe we'd better go over and comfort him. And so one of them is saying, be of good cheer, Snoopy. And the other one says, yes, be of good cheer. And then they walk away. And poor Snoopy is still left shivering in the cold. Bit like what the scripture was talking to us about. You know, we have nice words, but where's the actions to fit those words? So this cartoon was actually published in 1955. So it was actually in the early years of his cartoons. And you'll probably notice Snoopy actually on four legs, actually looking like a dog. In his later cartoons, he's actually standing up on two legs and looking a bit more like just one of the other characters. So he'd had changed his design. So this is one of the older cartoons. And but I wonder, because that's 66 years ago now, how many people have read that cartoon? And I think it would be hundreds and thousands and I don't know about millions, but there'd be so many people who've read that cartoon. And whether, you know, whether it was a challenge for them, whether they were impacted by it, whether they felt challenged by its content. And then I thought about the scripture passage we've just read from the book of James, and I thought, that was written more than 66 years ago. That was written so much longer. And how many more people would have read that James passage? The people back in those times would have all heard that story. But even since then, how many people have read that James passage and been impacted by that same content, that challenge for our words and our actions to be in sync? So I want to suggest, based on that passage and based on the cartoon that we've just seen, that there's possibly four different types of people in relation to these passages that speak about faith and speak about words and speak about actions. So I think, are they coming up one at a time, Michael? Okay. So the first one is a person who says they have faith in God. They have all the right words, but there are no matching actions. All right. And so we can probably think about people, not even Christians, but people who have great words, say the right things, but their actions don't match. I'm sure we can all think of people that. The second type of person I want to present is a person who does lots of good deeds, but they have no faith behind it. So we all know people who do good things, but there's no faith driving them. There's no Christian faith or no faith in anything driving them. They're just someone who does good deeds. And then the third type of person, it says a person who is doing good deeds in the hope that they might earn something. And there's plenty of people who do these good things in the hope of earning a place in heaven, maybe earning goodwill in the community, looking good in front of other people. So that's a third type of person. And the fourth type of person, which says a person who is showing their faith by their corresponding good deeds. So this is someone whose words and actions are in sync. What they're saying and what they're doing match their belief system, and their actions come out of that belief system. So this fourth example is what this scripture and what the scriptures in general talk about what it is to be a Christian, is that our actions come out of our belief system. Our good deeds or our good actions come out of what we believe. But I believe the differences between these four different types of people is motivation and intention. Because just like the person that is a Christian is motivated by the love of God, motivated by the love of others, and that's where their actions come from. Other people's intentions and motivations can be quite different. So with that first person that we saw, that they say they have faith in God, they say all the right words, but their actions are not matching. Maybe their motivation is to look good, to look holy, to look godly, to be showing others, oh, this is me, I've made it. This is what a godly person looks like. So their motivation is to look good for others. And they might say, oh, you know, I want people to know that I'm Christian because I have these right words. And having right words doesn't necessarily correspond with their actions. Their actions speak very differently to how they are. And Jesus spoke a lot to the Pharisees back in those times, which were the religious leaders at that time, because they spoke in ways that showed, oh, I'm a very religious person, I've got it all together. But their actions, they didn't care for the poor, they didn't care for other people, they were very judgmental. So their what they spoke didn't fit with their belief system. Now the second type of person, which is someone who does good deeds but doesn't have faith, that might be someone who works in a helping industry. It might be just part of their job to do good deeds. Maybe they were raised that way to do good deeds. Maybe their motivation is about feeling good about themselves. Their motivation is still self-focused, because it's about, I'm doing this because this is how I was raised. I'm doing this because this is the right thing to do. I'm doing this because I get a good feeling about myself when I help others and do good things. Or maybe it's even an expectation. Maybe you're doing good deeds in this role because you feel that others expect that that's what you should do. But the third person, their motivation might be to try and earn their way to God. For some, it may not even be earning a way to God. And I've even heard people actually speak about how they're doing all these good things in life to try and counteract all the bad that they have done. Like it's a bit like a scales. If I put enough good on this side, it will outweigh the bad that I have done. Like as if there's a balanced scale of getting into heaven. If your good is outweighing your bad, oh, okay, then I should be able to get in. I should work my karma. You know, people might often describe it as that. And that's a very strong belief system for some people, is that they feel that, oh, well, you know, if I've stuffed up over here, if I do enough good stuff, you know, it should be all right in the end. It'll be enough. I've done enough good to balance out that bad. But faith, and particularly faith in God, is given to us as a gift because of God's grace. We can't earn it. We don't earn a gift. We are gifted a gift. We're given the gift by God. And that's because of his love and his forgiveness towards us. Grace is freely given to us. We only need to have faith in that, and that God has given us his grace. But faith is not merely a head thing. And that's what James is trying to speak to here. It's not just a head thing that you say, yes, I have faith in God. Today's passage is showing that faith is just as much about action. It's not just about words or what we say or what we think. It's what's in our actions and how we put it into work. Now, who here has an email account? Quite a few. Or a Facebook. Or any type of account that you need a password. Most people have something like that. I have several passwords, and just this week I had to change one and it threw my whole world into a spin because I couldn't get back into it because I couldn't remember the new one I'd chosen. So I have this piece of paper, and I won't tell you where I keep it because in case anybody tries to steal all my passwords. I have this piece of paper with them all written on for every single database because the Salvation Army loves databases. And so for everyone, and some of them you've got to change every 3 months, some every 6 months, some of them you get to keep forever if you remember it. And then, of course, I forget things all the time and have to get them reset. So I have this long list of everything that I need in databases for passwords. But you get the idea of a password. What's the purpose of a password is to get into an account of some kind. So I want you to think that faith is like a password to God's grace. Okay? So that's God's account. And you need this password to be able to access the account. You might know the password. You might know that you have faith in God. But if you never use the password, you're not going to access the account. Does that make sense? Yeah. So faith is like the password to God's account and God's grace. You might go, yes, I believe in God. I have faith in God. But if you never use it as a password to access your account, you won't get access to God's grace. You may say that you have faith, but if you don't put it into practice, is it really faith? There needs to be that action part. The other examples of people that we had, you know, the person that has no faith, the person that is earning it, it's a bit like having the wrong password and using that wrong password all the time. You're not going to get into the account. And I've done that quite a few times, try to use the wrong password. You can't get into the account. If you don't have the right password, which is faith, you're not going to access God's grace and his account. If you're trying to earn your way to God's grace, bum bum, wrong password. If you're trying to look good in front of other people and say all the right words, bum bum, no access to God's grace account. It's the wrong password. Password is the key to accessing the account. Only the right password will access that account. Now, for those that probably don't function in passwords, since maybe a bit too technical, think about a key. We all have keys for a house, for a car, for all those sorts of things. Think about a key being like faith. You might have a key, and I seem to have too many keys, and sometimes I forget what key is for what lock. But you need the right key. You need the key of faith to be able to fit into the lock of God's grace, to be able to open it. You can try all the keys you like, but only that right key is going to unlock that and open it up. So you could have, yeah, you might say, yep, I believe in God, but if you haven't got that faith with action, your key is not going to open that lock. And I've jammed keys in a lock before and it's been wedged in and it snapped off. Has anyone had that happen to them? And then there's no way you're getting any key in there. So we need to make sure we have the right key to open up the lock of God's grace. You might have lots and lots and lots of keys, but if you don't have the right key, you can have all the good works in the world, like all these keys, but if it's not the key of faith, you're not going to access faith in God and his grace. Faith and believing in God or Jesus to be real on its own is not enough. The scripture says that even the demons believe that God and Jesus is real. And I remember reading this a few years ago, and this revelation, the devil believes in God. Faith in God is not enough to make you Christian, because the devil and the demons, they're certainly not Christian, but they believe in God. They know he's real. They know Jesus is very real. They had many encounters. It's not enough to just have a faith in that there is a God. And there is a difference between a knowing and a belief that God is real and a belief in God. So believing that there is a God and believing in God are two very different things. One is a head thing. The demons and the devil, they've got a head thing. They know that God is real. That's a head thing. Believing in God, that's a heart thing. That's more than just knowing it here. That's a belief in trust, in obedience, submission, knowing that He is your God. That motivates and changes us from our very core. A head knowledge is just a head knowledge. It won't impact your behavior or your actions. Believing in God changes our very being and motivates us to act and show our faith through our actions. It's like when you get that password and you get into the account, you can do all that you need to do in God's grace. When you have the right key to open up the lock, you have that freedom. It's open. You have that access. You have that belief, that action coming out of that faith. The actions of loving God and loving others is what comes out of that heart knowledge, not just a head knowledge. Because when you think of the devil and the demon, they're certainly not motivated by loving God and loving others. It's just a head thing for them. They know that God is real. They do not support the values of God's kingdom. And they're far from trusting and being obedient to God. Showing love for God and for others is not just about our words. It's also about our actions. And just like we saw in that Peanuts cartoon, when we see someone in need, we don't just wish them well and say kind words and move on. Our faith should motivate us to want to act. Those actions are not because we want to get noticed or because we feel we have to or we think we'll get extra brownie points to get into heaven. Or that we're trying to earn God's love by doing these good things. Those actions come out of a place of belief in God that changes us from the inside and drives us to want to act because of our trust and because of obedience to our God. I came across this quote from Johann Pereira that says, "A living faith is expressed by works motivated by brotherly love." It's motivated by love for others. It's motivated because it's a living faith. It's not just a head faith. It's a fully active living faith. When we see people in need in our community or in our world, it's so easy to blame society, governments, organizations, bad parenting, the justice system, and so much more. It's easy to point the finger for issues like addiction and homelessness and environmental destruction and poverty, and the list goes on. It's so easy for us to say the words and say, this shouldn't happen and we should, that's wrong. But what actions are we personally taking to show the faith that we have that the world can be a different place? That we believe in those values of God's kingdom. Do you believe that God has a different plan for how this world should be? I do. I know that God has a plan. He doesn't want people to be struggling with addiction. He doesn't want people to be homeless. He doesn't want people to be lonely. He doesn't want people to be suffering. And I believe that I'm part of that plan to change this world. Because God has given us His Holy Spirit to guide us, to motivate us, to drive us to want to act. Do our words and our actions demonstrate that faith that we have, that we know that God has a bigger plan? Another scripture that fits with our original passage today is from the book of 1 John. And it's chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And it says, if anyone has material possessions, anyone here have material possessions? Just a few, probably too many. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Pretty simple. All those that raised their hand that had material possessions, if you see someone in need, but you don't take pity and you don't use actions, is that really faith? Is this head faith, is that the faith that we have? Or is it the actions that come with it? Jesus, when he was on earth, invited people to follow him when he was on earth. But only those that actually physically followed him got discipled. And this was a bit of a revelation to me yesterday. Because Jesus went around a lot of the times telling people to follow him, come be fishers of men, follow me, pick up your cross and come follow me. But only those people who actually physically had an action in that actually got discipled. His 12 disciples were intensely discipled because they followed Jesus everywhere. I'm sure Jesus at times thought, oh my goodness, can they just go away for 5 minutes? But they followed him for 3 years to learn and be discipled. There was an action in that. They didn't just stay at home and say, yep, I believe in this Jesus guy, and sit and carry on with their lives. They followed him everywhere he went. Crowds of people followed him wherever he went. They were the ones who grew in their faith. That was the action, the response. When you find Jesus or when Jesus finds you, your response is you want to follow. I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you move, I'll move, we say. When God calls us, it should drive us to want to follow him wherever he takes us. Just as Jesus called his disciples and they followed him. And when I think of the miracles that Jesus performed, so many of them were about faith and action. And I think about, you know, the woman that was healed from 12 years of bleeding. She had faith, but she reached out in a crowd of people to touch his garment. It wasn't just a head faith that she went, yep, I believe in Jesus, I could believe he can heal me. She reached out in action. It was her actions just as much as her faith that healed her. And then the man that laying lame on the mat, and Jesus says to him, pick up your mat and walk. He had to physically get up. He had to have the faith that he could physically get up. So it was faith and action together that brought about his healing. And then the Samaritan woman at the well, she was not only just restored for herself. Her action was she went home, told her whole community about this man, Jesus, and they all came to believe too. She could have easily just gone, woohoo, Jesus has restored me and made me feel whole. I'll go back to my life and yippity-doo-dah. But no, she went back and told her whole community and they all came to know who Jesus was. Her faith and her action met together and she did both. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 10 says, we are not saved by works but by faith. But we are created and saved to do good works. So it's this faith and works. We're not saved by doing good stuff, not like that big scale of things, you know, that you can do enough good stuff to outweigh the bad. That's not how we get to faith. But we are created and saved to do good works. Oh, he's off to the drums. Faith and works. Faith is the password to to open up to the account. You can't operate in grace. You can't have the right actions until you've got the password right. So you need faith as the password before you can even do the good works. You can't send the email until you get the password in. Our words and our actions do not earn us faith. Our words and our actions come as a result of having faith first. Our faith is seen by our actions as we show our faith. Some people might know our faith by what we've said. Yes, we believe in Jesus. Yes, we're a Christian. But what do they see? Do they see any corresponding actions that show that we love God, that we love other people? Does our actions meet what words we have spoken? Are you challenged today, as I have been? Which of the four people that I described earlier are you? Are you the person who says all the right things, says that you're a Christian, you have faith in God, but your actions don't necessarily match? Are you maybe not knowing a faith yet, but you have good works and good deeds? Are you someone who has been working on good stuff to try and earn the love of God, to earn faith, to earn a space in heaven? Or are you that person who is showing their faith by their actions? Are your faith and actions fitting together like a glove, like the scripture said? Is your faith a belief that there is a God, or a belief in God, which is the depth? Does it involve trusting deeply in God? Is it obedience to show your faith through your actions? What is your reaction when you see people in need? Are you quick to blame society, government? Or do you see an opportunity to personally take action because of your faith? Are you available to be used by God because of your faith? This next song is actually called Available. And it's expressing the heart of being available to be used by God. It speaks of hearing God's call to be available, to be open-handed to receiving God's grace. Allowing God to have all of us. Some of you may not know this song, but I encourage you to listen to the words. May you connect with God in this. May you open your hands, open your hearts to what God is speaking to you. Is he calling you to be available? To be available for him to use in this world? To be a shower of your faith, not just a speaker of your faith. To actually have your actions present to the world what it is to be a Christian. So that we can bring transformation to this world. May this be your prayer, to be available to God, to allow his spirit to move in your life, to guide you how to respond when we see someone in need. My prayer is that your faith is not just in that there is a God, but faith in God that is deep and trusting, obedient and available for how he wants to use you. You might want to close your eyes as we sing. Listen to the